and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. This week, we're heading to Sydney to find out about the resurgence of take private in Australia. I'm joined by Maggie Lu Yeyang, who's the Bureau Chief for Merger Market Australia, and she's also an Associate Editor for the Asia Pacific region. Hi, Maggie. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Hello, Juliana. Thanks for having me.
Can you begin by talking me through the pace of take privates in deal making in the first part of the year, please?
Yeah, of course. Take private is actually not a new phenomenon here in Australia or in any other major market. In fact, the ASX has long been a sort of fertile ground for bidders, either from strategic buyers or financial sponsors to scoop up undervalued listed companies. What we have noticed since the beginning of this year is that the pace of take private deal making has been remarkable. As many people would know, here in Australia, January is usually the quietest month of the year in terms of corporate activity, and everyone seems to be coming back to business after the Australia Day at the end of January. But even with that, you would probably have seen maybe almost one take private deal announced every 3 days in the first quarter. And also, moving to the second quarter, we are also seeing the same trend. I don't have the exact data for the second quarter yet, but only just simply in the first quarter in Australia, Merger Market recorded 21 new take private deals. So if you compare that with historical data, the last time we saw a higher first quarter number was back in 2007, actually. That was before the global financial crisis. So we are seeing more and more ASX-listed companies being taken private. I actually just checked the official stats on the ASX website this morning. The total number of listed entities, here I mean just equity issuers, not debt issuers. So the total number of listed entities at the end of March, the latest data, was 2,049. And 1 year ago, the number was 2,126. And in March 2022 was 2,141. So you can see the number has been declining. Of course, not all those that have disappeared from the ASX are due to take private deals. Some might have been just merged into another ASX listed company, or may have just been delisted for some other reasons. But when you see articles about the ASX shrinking, that is not exaggeration. And a big part of that story is about take private. Even the RBA, Australia's central bank, took notice recently in its latest bulletin just published about 2 weeks ago, I think, mid-April, the RBA warned that heightened levels of buyout activity may reduce the diversification of the public equity market, especially at a time when there are limited inflows of new listings.
That's really interesting, Maggie. Can you talk about what's driving that trend for those take privates, please?
Well, at the macro level, if you think about what are the drivers for deals, of course, in general, if you talk to industry sources here in Australia, they would be pointing to sort of a return of confidence to the M&A market in Australia from the beginning of the year, and actually flowing from the fourth quarter of last year. As interest rates seem to be stabilizing and Australia's economy seems to be heading towards a so-called soft landing. I'm using seems here because I don't think I'm in a position to predict anything, but just trying to reflect the market sentiment. And in the M&A market, deal makers are, of course, looking at opportunities all the time and everywhere, not just in the public market, but also in the private market. But as some advisor said to us, it's just that public market deals are usually the first segment to take off when the market returns, because there's greater transparency of pricing and better transparency of information available. But at the micro level, when we look at why a certain listed company could become a target, we often would use the word vulnerable. We say this or that company is vulnerable to takeover. It does not necessarily mean the company itself has a huge problem or a huge issue there, but there always has to be an angle to play around for a potential buyer to move in. So it could be the target company is just undervalued in the current market with public equity investors not appreciating its true value, or the company could be indeed underperforming operationally and the existing management is not doing the right thing or not doing enough to bring out the true potential of the business. I also noticed in that bulletin the RBA published last month, it said underperforming companies may be targeted by private equity investment, which can bring in expertise and experience to help maximize growth. And also the constant threat of takeover can also discipline existing management to improve company performance. So that's also a factor. And sometimes with those listed companies, just a change of the guard at a company could indicate a takeover is more likely with maybe, you know, with a new chairman or a new managing director, a new CEO coming in and signaling a change of direction, triggering takeover interest. It's also possible. So there could be various reasons for specific situations, but in terms of the overall valuation, I remember hearing private equity executives saying that the public market in Australia is still much more fairly priced in comparison with North America. So that's another factor in terms of valuation and the pricing. So I'm sure all the major banks and M&A advisors will have a list of potential takeover targets based on their research of those factors which I mentioned earlier, or you know, financial metrics, as they would be talking to companies all the time and trying to maybe get a defense role in case anything comes up. So that's also something we reporters and analysts at Merger Market are monitoring. Of course, this is just looking at the target side. If you talk about the buyer side, there's, of course, a huge amount of capital that needs to be put into play, especially from the private equity buyers.
Thanks, Maggie. Can you talk through the sectors that are maybe seeing more take private deals than others, please?
Oh, sure. Yes. In terms of sectors, we have seen the industrial sectors has been particularly active, especially in the building materials space. And there has been a wave of billion-dollar deals since the beginning of the year. Names such as Adbri, to be bought by Ireland-based diversified building materials group CIH. CSR to be bought by French multinational Saint-Gobain. That is, it's a 4.3 billion AUD equity value deal. So the biggest take private deal in Australia in the first quarter. Also Boral, another building materials company, takeover by its biggest shareholder, Seven Group. This sector should fit the underperforming category of targets because according to an analysis by Bain, the building materials sector has been wracked by macroeconomic uncertainty and therefore offers some opportunities to acquire struggling assets. We've also seen deals involving renewables, green energy company GenX Power, and also offshore support vessel service provider MMA Offshore, both with deal values above 1 billion AUD. Other sectors include some property-related M&A and also technology and services. Among the deals, I would like to highlight GenX Power because we have been following this company for some years. I remember as early as March 2022, Merger Market scooped that GenX Power hired Goldman Sachs as defense advisor on the back of rising corporate interest in the company and in general in the renewable space. So I remember at that time, the company only had a market cap of 187 million AUD, something. It's not big, but the company was one of the few remaining players on the ASX with direct exposure to renewable energy generation and storage, and with projects in hydro, battery, solar, and wind. So after our report, 4 months later, in July 2022, the company indeed received a takeover proposal from Skip Capital and Stone Peak Partners. But after nearly 6 months of engagement back and forth, GenX eventually announced at the end of 2022, it ceased all discussions with the consortium. And now fast forward to March this year, it received a takeover offer from J-Power, the Japanese group, which is already a significant shareholder in GenX Power. And last month, GenX agreed to the deal.
Thanks very much, Maggie. And can we just finish off by you running through a few other names in the pipeline that might be take private candidates for the rest of 2024, please?
Oh, yes. Here in Australia, actually, it's quite interesting because it has been a perpetual game in local media to point out who would be the next take private target. I also wish I had a crystal ball. Merger Market does keep a close watch on the potential names, and we would update the market based on our proprietary reporting and analysis. So the names we follow include private hospital operator, Ramsay Healthcare, financial software company Ares, healthcare company Helios, retirement village operator Ingenia Communities, buy now, pay later services provider Zipco, just to name a few. Some of them could have been targets previously, but maybe the deal didn't go ahead, like Ramsay, or have announced a strategic review, which sometimes, or not often, will lead to a potential takeover, like Helios, or have been transitioning the business and could end up being in a more attractive position. So some of these names could come into play sooner. For example, we pointed out last month in an article that Iris, following its transformation plans, including a series of non-core divestments, it could end up being more attractive to prospective buyers. Iris actually in 2021 received an offer from EQT Partners, a private equity buyer, but that deal didn't go anywhere. Where? It's currently trading at much lower multiples than other comparable technology companies, so according to our analysis. And more recently, we have seen speculation about US private equity Thoma Bravo looking to bid for the business. Another name, very interesting and more recently, is Austal, the Australian shipbuilder and defense contractor. It actually has been in play, I think, on and off for 18 months, with suggestions that some US-based private equity firms are looking and some other strategic Asian strategic players looking. A month ago, I remember it's at the beginning of April, Austal received an offer from South Korea's Hanwha Ocean. But the company said it was not satisfied. The Korean bidder would be able to clear regulatory approvals in Australia and the US because Austal has significant business in the US and has contracts with the Department of Defense in the US. So an interesting development this week is that Australia's Defence Minister, Richard Marles, said Australia does not have any concerns about Hanwha acquiring Austal. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, earlier this week. And the comment just followed meetings with Marles' South Korean counterpart and both countries' foreign ministers. So the minister made that comment, which taking in face value means Australia's Foreign Investment Review Board may not have any issue with that. But sources told us Austal's position is still unchanged as Hanwha still has to clear hurdles in the US, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, and also the US Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency. So how that will play out is still to be seen. We had an article yesterday about this deal, and we will keep monitoring.
That's great, Maggie. Some interesting names to keep an eye on there. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Maggie Lu Yeyang, who is the Bureau Chief for Merger Market Australia and the Associate Editor for the Asia Pacific region. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you want to find out more about what we've been discussing, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.